Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tommy Lugauer.
Start dart.
I love Tommy.
No biggie.
Yeah, dude's dogs damage.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Oh, I've been working nights.
They call me Tommy the Rationalizer.
We all know Tommy Lugauer is a generational talent.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lugauer on The Fan.
Say it, honey.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lugauer. Reinforcements need to get here for the Yankees, and they need to get here fast. Look, it was a good weekend overall baseball-wise for the Yankees as they took two out of three from the Phillies, but more bad injury news at a time where the Yankees could ill afford to lose a player the caliber of Bellinger. And I know Bellinger's been struggling, but Cody Bellinger can help you win baseball games and more than just the bat. You know, whether it's in the field, whether it's on the base paths, Cody Bellinger is an overall and all-around baseball player that helps teams win really across all the assets of a baseball game, at the plate, in the field, and on the bases. You know, it feels like on a nightly basis, Bellinger does something to help you or at least put you in position to win a game. So with the latest injury here now to Bellinger, and we're going to find out more tomorrow, the extent of this injury, how much time the Yankees and Bellinger could be looking at for Cody to be out and miss action. You know, reinforcements need to get here, and they need to get here quickly. And the trade deadline is about a week away, August 3rd, and Brian Cashman and the Yankees have a lot of work to do. The Yankees have a championship rotation. Schlittler, Fried, Gerrit Cole, that is a three-headed monster, three aces that can win you a championship. It puts the Yankees at a major advantage, certainly over the teams in the American League with those three guys. But the offense is a major problem. And I do expect Aaron Judge back early September. When it comes to Stanton, I have no idea. I've stopped trying to figure that one out. I mean, Aaron Boone one day tells you that Stanton could be back in a reasonable amount of time, and then the next day he tells you there's no timetable. Stanton's been out since the Knicks played the Hawks in the first round of the playoffs, since late April. He's been out for months. So this idea that Stanton's going to be back in a reasonable amount of time, if you're buying that, I have swamp land in Florida I'd like to sell you. It's just, it's anybody's guess at this point. It really, including Aaron Boone. And now with the recent injury to Bellinger, it only magnifies the problem that the Yankees have, which is their offense is atrocious. They need now multiple bats, not just a catcher, not just in the infield, but now they're going to need an outfielder. Ideally, a right-handed bat. You have zero production at catcher. Austin Wells has been hideous this year. Arguably the worst season ever in the history of baseball. I mean, it has been an absolute zero in terms of production for the Yankees at catcher this year, season, which is unacceptable when you consider the Yankees' resources. Then you have the infield situation. Ryan McMahon, not good. He is a backup at this stage of his career. He is a defensive replacement at this stage of his career. He is a guy you bring off the bench to be a player that can maybe pop you a home run. That's what he is at this stage of his career. He can't hit for any type of average. Anthony Volpe, what more can you say? I came on the air weeks ago and said he should be DFA'd along with Austin Wells. Jose Caballero, as much as people like him and they like his game, I think he is aided and helped by the fact that Anthony Volpe is so bad that Caballero looks better comparison, sort of side-by-side to Anthony Volpe. But Caballero is not the long-term answer, and every day that goes by, it feels like he's not the short-term answer either. And now you have this outfield situation where You don't know when Judge is coming back. You don't know when Bellinger's coming back. Nobody knows when Stanton's coming back. Dominguez has been more hype than he's been actual substance. This Yankee offense needs a big-time jolt, and they need reinforcements. Now, some of it is out of their control. They unfortunately have to play the waiting game with Judge. They have to play the waiting game with Stanton. And now they're going to have to play the waiting game with Bellinger. But what Brian Cashman can do over the next 7 days or so is be very active. Very, very active. Multiple bats. You know, early in the year and really throughout the first couple months, I thought the biggest need for the Yankees was a bullpen arm. Maybe bullpen arms. It felt like, okay, that is the one thing that they are missing that could really put them over the top. Like, all along, I felt like, all right, this is the best team in the American League the Yankees are. The American League is weak. The path for the Yankees should be a smooth one getting back to the Fall Classic. But in order to win it all, in order for the Yankees to win a championship, have a parade, add to their trophy case, the Yankees would need to add at least one reliever, but probably more than that. Well, as time has gone on here, and yes, the bullpen still has its problems, but with the emergence of a Paul Blackburn, the idea of moving Warren to the pen, Weathers to the pen, there are things you can do, even if you're not extremely active at the deadline as far as bullpen arms. There are things that they could do, the Yankees can do, to shore up that bullpen. You know, the emergence of Hedrick all year. You know Bednar is going to be good, if not really good at times. Outstanding when he's really on. But with all these injuries and with the lack of production, I mean, Ahmad Rosario, awful. And Rosario can't feel either. So I'm not sure exactly what he brings to the table at this point, including against lefties. It is just a mess right now offensively. Now, to the Yankees' credit, they're only three games back in the division. This is by no means doom or gloom or they're not going to the postseason or anything like that. But when you have these three aces, when you have Schlittler, when you have Fried, when you have Gerrit Cole, do not, if you are Brian Cashman, waste this opportunity. There's nothing you can do about Judge, there's nothing you can do about Stanton, and now there's nothing you can do about Bellinger. But what you can do in the next week is bring in reinforcements, whether that's calling up George Lombard, whether that's trading for a catcher, trading for an infielder, trading for an outfielder. Some combination, if not all three of the actually all three things I just said. Trade for an outfielder, bring up Lombard, trade for a catcher. Perhaps even trade for another infielder. I mean, that's how bad this is right now. And if Bellinger has to miss an extended period of time, it's only going to hurt you more offensively, and it's going to hurt you defensively. Because no matter how much Bellinger struggles at the plate, and you saw it the other night in Fried's debut against the Pirates, right out of the gate, a ball down the line, Bellinger throws an exact strike perfectly to second base to stop any type of early bleeding that Max Fried would have in his first start back in months. That's the type of player Bellinger is. Not just with the bat, the glove, around the bases. He's a heady player. He's always seemingly in the right spot. And even when things aren't going the way you want it to go offensively for him for quite some time, Bellinger still brings more to the table, which makes him that complete player. And that's exactly why the Yankees were so, you know, heavily into bringing him back. That's why other teams, the Mets, etc., wanted to bring in Bellinger, because it's not just the bat, it's really his all-around game.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
But the Yankees can't let this rotation go to waste. They can't. It's too good. It's too powerful. It's such a strength and it's such an advantage. But the offense right now, it to me is a dire situation. As we sit here on July 27th. Now I have faith. I have ultimate, say, positivity that the Yankees will get to a point in this season where they get these reinforcements back. They make a bunch of trades. Judge is back in the lineup. I suppose Stanton will return to the lineup. Really, all you need him back for is October anyway, if we're being honest. I mean, Judge, you'd like to see back a couple weeks before to get his sea legs, to get a couple games under his belt, maybe, you know, a month or so of baseball action so that Aaron Judge is at peak or as close to peak performance as you could possibly get him to, considering the circumstances, once October rolls around. But as far as Stanton, I mean, I feel like that guy could roll out of bed after being out the entire season and just completely mash in the postseason. His reputation in that sense with Stanton precedes itself. And then as far as Bellinger, who knows? Who knows? Hopefully we'll get more news tomorrow. Certainly sounds that way as Bellinger is headed back up here. Remember, the Yankees on this road trip, they now head out to Chicago for a bunch of games with the White Sox and Cubs. Bellinger on his way back to New York to get more tests on his hamstring, and we should find out more of what's going on and his timetable after those tests are done and we get the results. But, you know, Fried, it took forever. Stanton, it's taking forever. Judge, it's taking forever. It doesn't mean Bellinger's going to take forever. But based on the injuries the Yankees have had this season, it's hard to be optimistic about Bellinger returning quickly, which makes this trade deadline even more important. It was important anyway. It's gotten even more important now. The Yankees need reinforcements. To me, it's offense, offense, offense. Forget Skubal. Forget Mason Miller. This team needs bats in the worst way. And you have to, in my opinion at least, operate under the assumption that Judge will be back and as close to 100% as he possibly can be. Stanton, it's getting harder and harder to assume anything with him. And now the unknown of Bellinger. Because when it comes to, you know, injuries are tricky. Whether it's a back, whether it's a hamstring, whether it's a calf, you know. You want to be sure, you want to be careful. You don't want to rush anybody back. You know, it's always about the long game with the Yankees. They're an October team. They're a postseason team. That's where they're headed. The division is still right there for the taking. And yeah, the Yankees had a good weekend. You know, on the field, they had a good weekend. You know, last night, I mean, Sanchez at home is basically an automatic. Plus, the Phillies are trying to not get swept. So really, the Yankees had about as good of a weekend as they possibly could have had. Like, you signed for 2 out of 3 going into Philly, for sure. That is a great weekend on the field. And you find yourself 3 games back of the Rays. So, all good from there. But that is in a vacuum, in a bubble, and not looking at the big picture. If we're talking big picture, which you have to do at the trade deadline, this is really the last time to talk big picture, because this is really the last time you can help yourself as a baseball team, at least from the outside, not internally. But Lombard's got, I'm stunned he's not up here already. I thought by all accounts, Lombard was already going to be up here with this team. You get to see Spencer Jones now, and look, Spencer Jones defensively looks like a major leaguer. Offensively, not so much. We'll see if the couple weeks down in the minors did any good for him. But defensively, Jones really gives you exactly or is close to what you get from Bellinger. But offensively, even with Bellinger struggling, I mean, Spencer Jones looked overmatched in his first run this year. We'll see if anything changes in the second run. But Brian Cashman needs to be on the phone. He needs to have already been on the phone. A catcher, an infielder. And now it looks more and more like an outfielder is needed. Because you look at three guys here, Stanton, DH, Judge, Wright, Bellinger also in the outfielder. You're just going to think all three guys are back. They're already healthy to and set to go. You need reinforcements. You need a backup plan, and you need more bats here. Because I'm not sure even Grisham is a long-term answer. Dominguez, Jones, I mean, none of these guys give you any type of confidence. The only guys you are truly confident in offensively right now that is on the field is Ben Rice, and at least for me, it's Jazz Chisholm. Maybe for a lot of people it's not, but Jazz has had a lot of big hits. He's got a mighty fine track record. He's playing for a contract. Those are the two guys that I would put my faith in right now. Outside of that, not good. Wells, awful. Volpe, awful. Caballero, not really the answer to all answers or to all questions. If the Yankees can upgrade at shortstop, even if that means Lombard, although what are you doing with third base? That's the thing. Like, if you put Lombard at short, third base is still a problem. McMahon is not the answer. Rosario's not the answer. Moving Volpe over there is not the answer. If you could somehow convince, I guess, Luis Arraez to go over there, that would be great. On the bright side, I think the pitching is close to being set. Rotation-wise, it is. Don't worry about a fourth starter. You're gonna get that figured out. And with the three guys you got, the last thing you're worried about is a fourth man in that rotation. Come playoff time, you're not gonna have to worry about that. Bullpen-wise, the focus and attention and assets should not be on Mason Miller. They shouldn't. You know, always in motion the future is. Things have changed drastically over the last couple weeks, over the last couple months. And with all these injuries and with the lack of production, and quite frankly, the guys that aren't producing, most of them, how could you have any faith that they're going to really turn it around? Volpe and Wells should be gone. Gone. Whether it's trade, whether it's DFA'd, whether it's minors, you pick. I'm sure Yankee fans at this point don't care which of the three it is, as long as it's one of them. Caballero, like I said, if you put the side-by-side with him and Volpe, Caballero looks better by sort of proxy. But Caballero's not the long-term answer. Lombard could be, but the problem with Lombard is if you move him to short, what are you doing at third? I say this as a call to action. I am confident in Brian Cashman. I'm confident that the Yankees are going to make a lot of moves here before the deadline. And I'm at least confident that Aaron Judge is going to return before the season ends. Bellinger, it's hard to speak on because we got to get more tests here. We got to get more information. One thing Bellinger has going for him is time. There's still time left. There's 2 months plus in the season. So time is on his side. But I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, he'll be back in 10 days or, oh, he'll be back in a month. I have no idea. None of us do, including the Yankees. That's why Bellinger's going for more tests. And once there's more answers to the questions, then perhaps we'll start to get a feel for Bellinger's return. But to me, it's hard to even have a conversation about that right now because not all the tests have been done. And we don't know the full extent or any type of timetable yet. And Judge and Stanton are just breadcrumbs. Judge more than Stanton. To me, Stanton is maybe a step forward, then a step back, then a step to the side. It's like the cha-cha slide. Two hops this time. You know, if you've been on a cruise ship at one point in your life, you've heard that song about 65,000 times. Reinforcements, reinforcements, reinforcements. An active deadline is vital. It is crucial. It is critical to this Yankee team. This is a golden opportunity for Boone, for Cashman, for Judge, for this group. The American League is weak. The Yankees have three, not one, not two, three dominant aces. They have that market cornered. They have that part of their team covered. That is a championship rotation the Yankees have, with three guys that can carry your pitching staff. And they can shorten the bridge to your high leverage guys, especially when you unleash them, when there are no training wheels, when there are no restrictions once you get to the postseason. Any one of the three could be a game one starter for any other team. Any one of the three at any given point in their careers. They could be game one starters. Now they are all share the same uniform. They are all on the Yankees. But what Brian Cash, and I don't think he will, but what he can have going into this deadline is this false sense of arrogance. Look, we talked a lot about the running it back, and I, for one, was heavily critical of it. And I thought it was the wrong way to go about things. Forget even necessarily personnel, but just this team needed a new feel, a new vibe, something to get them over the hump. Well, here we are, you know, a couple months into the season with the deadline approaching, and you look at this offense, now Judge being out, Bellinger now being out, Stanton being out. Not really anybody's fault, although you expect it with Stanton. Maybe not this long of a summer sabbatical, but you know Stanton's going to miss time. It just goes along with the territory of doing business with him. But now Brian Cashman and the Yankees and Aaron Boone and this offense, they find themselves in dire straits. Wells, awful. Volpe, awful. Rosario, awful. Dominguez, more hype than substance. Caballero, not the answer long term. You might be able to get by with him at short. You move Lombard to third or you make some type of trade. But even there, I think if the Yankees could make the ultimate upgrade at shortstop, they would. I'm looking at three bats for this team. Three, minimum, at the trade deadline. Outfielder, right-handed bat out there. Infielder. And then, of course, at catcher. And the Yankees got awful news today as far as that department, because Shea Langelier is a guy that I was touting for the last week or so, saying the Yankees should go all in for. They should push all their chips into the middle. Langelier's might be out for the year now, which lessens your trade options now in the next week at catcher, which is the number one upgrade, because you have nothing there. Literally nothing. There's no pulse at catcher offensively. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Loogie in the late night here on The Fan. I'm going to give you a name coming up for the Yankees, an interesting name. This is one of those ones that you're going to say, ooh, that's a good one. Now, there is some red tape in acquiring this player, but I think he would be the absolute perfect addition for the Yankees. Somebody that could really bolster their offense, a guy that has played in a lot of big games, that has a lot of big hits. So that's coming up. We will get into the LeBron James situation. I was out on Friday, or just that's my off day. I'm off on Fridays. So I haven't been able to weigh in on that. I have a lot to say about LeBron going to Philly and all the hype that is surrounding the Sixers. We'll get into that coming up in the next hour. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is Tommy Lugauer, After Hours here on The Fan.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
129 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Loogie. Hopefully everybody had a very pleasant Loog evening. Phone number to call, 888-808 1019 for now a 3.5 hour after hours. A little loogie in the late night. We'll get to your calls in just one second here, but first, the Fan Focus. It's presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. This is trade deadline week, essentially. And with trade deadline week, you're going to get a lot of this player could be on the block. What about this player? What about this trade? What are we hearing about this player? What's the latest on this team selling? What's the latest on this team buying? So it's a lot of crazy rumors, a lot of crazy speculation until we start seeing some trades, actually, like some real ones of substance, start to take place. And even then, you're going to hear a lot of names being bantered and thrown out there. Like, we're still now getting to hear C.J. Abrams, which we heard in the offseason with the... I mean, I just don't see the Nationals trading C.J. Abrams. I said that in the offseason when this came up. I'll say it now. I don't think Abrams is going anywhere. Why would the Nationals want to trade him? They have a young team. They have one of, if not the best, offenses in all of baseball, certainly production-wise. Abrams is, along with James Wood, one of the best hitters on the team. I just don't see a scenario where Washington would move off him. But tis the season. Tis the season. And you're going to hear a lot of names, including one name that I heard a bunch recently that I'm going to get into later because I think it's just the way the Yankees should go. And it's a right-handed bat. It's an outfielder. It's somebody that could help them, especially in big games. But here's the bottom line when it comes to the Yankees. They have the rotation. They have the horses. They have the aces. They have three guys in Schlittler, Fried, and Cole that can get you to the promised land. That is a World Series champion rotation. Not just get to the World Series rotation, championship rotation. Three studs. Not many teams can bolster that type of rotation. The Yankees can. And at one point this season, really for a lot of points, but I felt as if the biggest need for the Yankees was their bullpen, was their guys that came out of the pen. And now, they still need an arm out there, but to me it's not top priority. It is the offense that desperately, dire straits, needs help. With Bellinger headed to the IL. The timetable on his return, unknown. He'll get more tests later today up here in New York as the team moves to Chicago for games against the White Sox and the Cubs. By the way, that's a great road trip if you're going out to Chicago. If you can hear my voice right now, hit me up. If you're going to Wrigley or even south side of Chicago, that is maybe even both. I mean, that's one of those things where you could go to both. You could just kind of follow the Yankees around all week and you get to go to Chicago in the summer. 888-808-1019 if that's what you're planning on doing. Wells is a disaster. DFA'd, sent to the minors, traded. Pick your poison there, whichever one you want to do. Volpe, same thing, gone. Rosario is just a major issue right now. Can't hit, can't field. Caballero, look, I've been a Caballero supporter, still am, but I feel like if the Yankees can make a major upgrade at shortstop, they would. Lombard has got to fit in somewhere in the plans here, but he can't play multiple positions in the same game, meaning he can't start at short and third base. So do you want to put Lombard at short, Caballero at third? McMahon, we know, is not the answer. He is a guy that can come in late in a game and be a defensive replacement at this stage. He can't hit at all. Volpe, we know, like I said, Wells out. Dominguez, it's been more hype than substance. Now, you get a boost with Fried, which completed the rotation. But the offense, I mean, you're going to be waiting a while for Judge, at least another month. Stanton, who knows? Bellinger, who knows? Hopefully we have a better idea in like 24 hours what's going on with Bellinger in the timetable, but as far as right now, you're on pins and needles waiting for some type of results that might lend itself to when we might see Bellinger back on a field. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Hector joins us from the Bronx. What's up, Hector?
Hey, Lou, how you doing, man?
Good.
I'm banging Leo tonight.
Hey, what's up? What's happening?
Hey, I want to talk about the trade deadline now. I totally agree with you on what we need. For the Yankees, what they need. Pitching, I think, is solid. Of course, but the bats. My only concern with this trade deadline is what historically has been the case the past few years, that Brian Cashman doesn't go with the best second option. He gets the third or fourth best option, like Ryan McMahon. Like, there was other third baseman out there, and he settles for that guy. Like, we need him to not settle for that guy. We need him to go all out. But I have a funny feeling we're going to get somebody that hasn't been spoken about, in my opinion. What do you think?
Somebody that hasn't been thrown out there yet?
Like a bat that somebody might be willing to let go that hasn't really been spoken about. So I just think a surprise bat is going to come.
Look, that's certainly possible.
He's one of the big catchers, man.
Yeah, well, as far as the big catchers, like I said, Langoliers likely is going to be out for the year now. You can pretty much forget about that. Hunter Goodman, it's already been out there that the Rockies want, big-time prospects for him. I don't know if the Yankees even have that type of package or if the Rockies, they could say that, but they might not even be willing. That's one of those things where if you blow us away, we'll trade Hunter Goodman. But in reality, they're not trading Hunter Goodman. And then you start to look at Jeffers and Rushman and names like that, which is fine. I mean, look, they have to get a catcher in here. So I think any catcher they bring in will feel like a major upgrade over Wells.
Yeah, I totally agree. Hey, can I say one thing about LeBron real quick?
Of course.
I don't fear the Sixers with LeBron on it. He's not the LeBron of old.
Nope.
But I just feel he's just a narcissist that it's disgusting at this point. Like, he makes, a big deal about where he's going to go and tries to make everybody wait for it. Like, dude, at this point in your career, no one really cares. You're over 40 years old. And, what's your legacy going to be? Are you going to be, a journeyman type of guy? Like, you've been on so many different teams. And
well, he's chasing a ring. Ring because he feels like if he gets enough rings, everyone will put him in front of Michael. But here's the problem. People that have Michael ahead of him are not changing their mind no matter what. LeBron could win 40 titles in a row here in his 50s, and Jordan people are Jordan people, and LeBron people are LeBron people. But I feel like that's what's going on with him.
I'm a Jordan guy, but what uniform, end of my question, is you think LeBron would wear into the Hall of Fame? Like, what would we go in there?
Cleveland.
He's been in so many different teams.
I think Cleveland.
Cleveland, okay.
Yeah, I think Cleveland. It's tight between that and Miami, Hector, and I appreciate the call, but I think Cleveland is ultimately where his heart is, and he did win a championship there, so I would go with the Cavs. And we'll get more into LeBron coming up in the next hour. We'll get into just, like you said, the hype machine that is now backing the Sixers. But yeah, the whole wait for LeBron was just ridiculous. The only thing I would push back on you, Hector, is I do think people care because it is LeBron James. But the idea that we had to, why didn't he just announce this at Fanatics Fest? I mean, the whole idea that we had to wait an entire week, and perhaps he didn't make his decision yet, but I don't know. The whole thing was dragged out for a very, very long time. Apparently, this is the final decision. Who knows? I mean, it's LeBron. He could play till he's in his late 40s. But we will get into more about the situation in Philly with the addition of not only LeBron, but of course, Jaylen Brown this offseason and all the implications that have and has on the Knicks. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Tyler in Yonkers. He joins us here on After Hours. What's up, Tyler?
How you doing, Lugie?
Hey, what's happening?
I just want to talk about how this front office is completely pathetic. We are never going to see a trade for Mason Miller, for Shea Langeliers, even though he's hurt. Never to see Hunter Goodman. The Yankees always find the pathetic solution to the completion of their team, and they will never win a World Series until this front office is changed.
I hate putting the word never on anything, but I understand your frustrations as far as not going for the big swing or the home run and trying to get the best, let's say, because right now the best bat that's out there, if he fits a position that they need and they need a bunch of them, that should be the guy you're going all in for, because this offense needs a major, major facelift. And look, I am operating, Tyler, on the assumption that Judge is coming back. Stanton, I guess, is coming back. And I'm also operating the assumption that they're going to be at their peak performance. I don't know if Brian Cashman should be totally like that, though. You almost have to say, all right, even if we get them back, they might not be 100% or even close to that. So even more so and even more of that onus then should be on getting bats here, because you have the three aces. Don't let that go to waste. And the clear path to get to the World Series. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have a lot of stiff competition in October before you get to the World Series. So don't allow this trade deadline to come and go where either you're not super active or, to your point, where you're kind of bargain basement, you're trying to get a little too cute, and you're not really taking that major hack. This front office, like you said, Brian Cashman, he's got to go all in here and get this lineup just major upgrades. Otherwise, we all know what's coming once they meet a team that stacks up well against them in October. They're not going to hit, and they're going to go home.
Correct. Absolutely. We've seen what happened to the Dodgers against them. This team needs a major change to their lineup. Otherwise, there's no chance. They can't even take over the Rays in the American League East. They've got to beat the Rays. And if they get to the Dodgers, they're going to be completely wiped. They have to make a major change to this offense. The front office mm-hmm. is completely lost on what can fix this team. They have no idea what they're doing. They're going to go for Ryan Jeffers and settle for that, maybe a bullpen guy from Minnesota, and they're never going to fix this team in the way it needs to be fixed.
Yeah,
they
I'm
need
not even
to go
sure Minnesota's going to be sellers either. The problem with the teams in the Central,
correct,
this goes for the Tigers,
correct,
too, is the Central's so bad that you feel like, I mean, the Twins are 3.5 games out of first place. Why are they trading players?
Absolutely.
They're probably not going to.
Absolutely.
Langoliers was a huge blow. You know, him getting hurt and possibly being out for the year, that's a major injury because that's a team in the Athletics that's obviously out of it. They would, in theory, be trading players off. Now, maybe not a Langoliers, but it sounded like he was on the block. That is a major upgrade. That would have been a huge bat. That would have been an all-in type of move. And that's no fault of Brian Cashman. But, yeah, I don't think he's clueless, but I understand the sort of lack of trust at times because the team hasn't won a championship in a minute.
Correct. At best, I see maybe they get Miller. They call up Lombard.
Hold on a second. See, the way you set that up, you can't say it. Well, you're talking about getting the best closer in baseball. So I think you should have said at best they would get and then say like a mid-level guy or maybe even like a little bit of an upper mid-level. You can't say Mason Miller because when we look at the trade deadline, the guys that are getting traded, the best two players could probably be Mason Miller and Skubal. So if they get one of them, you can't say, well, at best we're getting this
guy. Right, but we're talking about the best bullpen ERA in baseball currently.
I agree with you that they should be looking at offense, but I mean, Mason Miller you'd take in any situation. But I agree. I've been saying this now for a while. No Miller, no Skubal. They should be looking at offensive players. And hopefully Brian Cashman got the memo. And look, the Bellinger injury only muddies the water even further because the offense is even more in shambles now without his bat, even though he was struggling. Bellinger's still a guy that at any moment can get hot and help you win ball games. And now you lose not only that, but you lose his defense. Now, Jones showed he could play at a major league level defensively, but offensively, Spencer Jones looked completely overmatched in his first run here this season.
Right. Unfortunately, I just see the only outcome to this is them calling up maybe Lombard in a couple weeks.
They'll call him
and moving him to third base.
Moving him to third makes sense.
If they move him to third base, I will be severely frustrated. Caballero, he had a good first couple weeks or months of the season. Volpe cannot be playing shortstop.
Correct.
If Lombard is playing third base over Volpe, I can't watch the rest of the season.
Well, you're definitely going to watch, Tyler. But what are you saying? So if Lombard's at third base and Volpe's at short, well, Caballero, I think. Listen, Caballero is going to factor into the lineup, but so is Volpe. Unfortunately, like Volpe's going to play. Even if Lombard gets called up, they will kind of do music chairs there, whether it's third base, shortstop, and they'll make sure that everybody sort of gets an equal share of the pie. But if I were the Yankees, or if it was just me looking on the outside, looking in as a Yankee fan, I would want Lombard to get regular at-bats. And just because, to me, Volpe and Caballero, neither guy really screams the answer at short.
Right. They're both guys that are replacement-level players.
Yeah.
And I just can't stand to watch it anymore. They have to make a move that replaces that position and gets somebody that's concrete and can play there every day. Whether that's Lombard or somebody in the trade market, I just can't watch the two of them play. Like,
well,
listen,
the guys,
Caballero
the names,
plays,
yeah, the names you start hearing, and I appreciate the call, Tyler. Some of the names you're hearing, like whether it's Zach Neto, who, look, the reason why I wouldn't go after him is he strikes out way too much. I mean, the guy strikes out basically 200 times a year. You can't add that to a team that strikes out a million times. Jeremy Pena is a name we've talked about a lot, but the Astros are still kind of in it in a very weak division. And by no means do I think Houston necessarily wants to do business with Brian Cashman, or at least that's just an assumption I have. Hey, you know, this guy's bad-mouthed us a lot. We don't want to send him a player the caliber of Jeremy Pena, who's been absolutely red hot and would be an awesome addition to the Yankees. But Lombard is going to factor in somewhere here, either at third or at short. And you could put Caballero at third, or you could put Lombard at third. The less Anthony Volpe, the better at this stage. The less McMahon, the better. I said it a week ago, this is put up or shut up time for Dominguez. Now his role gets even bigger here, unless the Yankees trade for a bat. And the guy that I heard a bunch this weekend and hadn't heard, you know, going into the weekend, and it was a name that just, because you see a lot of names, like, all right, this name, that name, whatever. But then you see a name and you're like, ooh, that one makes a lot of sense. Now, it's in division, which is always tricky, so it might be far-fetched. But if the Yankees could get their hands on George Springer, a guy that has, of course, killed the Yankees for years and years and years in multiple different uniforms, but a guy that has played in a million big games, has gotten a million big hits, and he just has that DNA that the Yankees so desperately need, which is guys that perform at a high level in October. And a guy that I believe can handle the market, can handle the pressure, can handle the bright lights. Local guy, obviously, went to UConn. So in a way, sort of a little bit of a homecoming. And a team that he and a fan base that he has tortured for years, now he can sort of join the team that he has really gotten the best of a lot in two different stops here, Houston and then obviously with Toronto. But that's a name, if I was Brian Cashman, I would be very, very interested in. I like Joe Adell. I mean, he's very talented. But Jason Dominguez is very talented. I need guys that I know when the weather cools off, when the leaves start to fall off the trees, when the postseason arrives, I need guys that have experience in October, big hits in October, championship DNA. That's what this team needs. Now, you can't always get it. You can't just go to the grocery store and necessarily pick that up. Oh, can I just go to this section and find guys that have won championships and can be clutch? It's not always available for you. But if that player becomes available and Toronto wants to do business inside their division, Springer, who's been banged up this year, but now he's back. He's been swinging a hot bat ever since the All-Star break. That's a guy that if I was Brian Cashman, I'd be all over. I understand the trepidation with Cashman at the deadline. I think Cashman, as a general manager, is better in the offseason than he is at the deadline. Like, if I think about his legacy and where I would say, all right, where's Cashman, where's his strength? You know, where does he shine better? I think it's in the offseason more than the deadline. But he's going to have a monster deadline. Monster. To put them to where they need to be. And to not let this three-headed monster of aces go to waste. Because the offense is just severely lagging behind those three guys. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's after hours. It is Loogie here in the late night. Tommy Lugar on the fan. Let's go to Mario in Long Beach. He joins us next. What's going on, Mario?
Hey, what's going on, Luke? How you doing?
Hey, what's happening?
So I agree with one of the things said entirely, and I disagree with another one.
Okay.
Let me tell you what I agree with. Mm-hmm. Number one is what you said about the Yankees and the starting pitchers. Spot on. If you look at this,
Slinger, Fried, and Cole.
He's going to probably...
Yeah.
Yeah, Schiller's winning the Cy Young this year, looks that way.
Most likely, most likely. I mean, he has been at times the best pitcher in the American League for sure. He's been unbelievable. Fried obviously missed a ton of time, but he'd be right there in the Cy Young race if he didn't, you know, wasn't out for months. And then, you know, really same thing with Cole. I mean, perhaps not in the Cy Young, but definitely viewed as one of the better pitchers in the American League when healthy.
Yeah, but I think you'd agree that all three of them are Cy Young caliber pitchers.
Yes. Oh, for sure. 100%.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing with the second one, and I'm going to give you a little riddle here. There's a guy that on the Yankees that has a 250 batting average. His on-base percentage is .345. And between the Yankees and the Mets, he'd be the fourth leading hitter on each team and second in on-base percentage on each team. Who is that guy?
Give me the name.
Volpe.
I had a feeling you were going there.
Let me finish.
No, I know, but you just threw that out there, and I just want to preface it by saying I feel as though we are going to get at least a mild defense of Volpe sticking around and being a part of this team in the stretch run.
Right. Now let me finish on Volpe, first of all. Now, in the playoffs, he's got 75 at-bats. He's batting .250 with a .345 on-base percentage. And he hit a grand slam in the World
Series. I understand the World Series. But, Mario, don't you think you could throw all the stats at me, but when you watch Anthony Volpe day in and day out, the guy's abilities and his performance, especially defensively, it just doesn't jump off the pages at you. And you can give me the stats. And, by the way, the numbers you're giving, this is one of the reasons why the Yankees keep going back to the well. He is a statistical darling. He's an analytical darling. He's somebody that when you look at the numbers, you say, oh, look at these numbers. But if you watch him sort of day in and day out, he doesn't impress. And to me, he's not the answer. He's just not.
Another thing, Logie, he makes $3 million a year. He makes
no. Nothing. I understand. I get that, but we're not worried about necessarily. You want to tell me that he's what? Because he makes $3 million, that he's on the cheap. He should be out there. I don't think you should be worried about that.
I'm
about
saying that the best players. He's certainly earning his $3 million.
Yeah, of course he's earning his $3 million. But I don't think that. Yeah. But you're not worried about that. You're not. If you're a fan of the Yankees, you don't care if he's earning his paycheck, which is not very high. You're more worried about whether he's the long term answer at shortstop or even second or third. And from what I've seen over the last year and change, he is a player that is on the decline.
Well, let's go for a year. He was playing with a shoulder that he should have had surgery last year.
He was definitely being put out there at a point where he was injured and shouldn't have been out there. I agree with that.
That was on the Yankees.
I agree with that.
So that when you look back and you say, "Oh, he had a bad last year," that was their problem. They should have had the surgery earlier. Now this year, if you look, he's only got two errors. He's not throwing a ball in the dirt.
Well, he threw one away last night, but what would you say about the one home run and the 16 RBIs and the .250 batting average?
.250 is fourth best on each team.
Okay, but when we're talking about, well, now let's talk about other teams. Let's compare them to the teams they would be going up against competition-wise. Let's just say, okay, would you rather have Tommy Edman or would you rather have Anthony Volpe?
I guess I don't know what Tommy Edman's numbers
are. Well, it's just not even about numbers necessarily, but Tommy Edman gets a lot of big hits. He's a winner. My point is when you get to the margins, when you have Yankees versus Dodgers, they're throwing guys out there like Edman, who is a clutch player, has gotten it done in October, and then when you see Volpe, to me, it just doesn't match up. You can give me, comparisons to the Mets or other players on the Yankees, but we got to start thinking about, all right, what about the players on the Rays, or what about the players on the Braves, or the Brewers, or the Phillies, or the Dodgers?
Well, I don't think there's that many shortstops that much better. I mean, there are some.
Than Volpe?
There are some, but they're not like it. It's not like he's really hurting them, put it that way, put it this way.
Do you think Anthony Volpe is their starting shortstop next year?
Could be.
I don't think he is. I don't.
Yeah, he could.
I don't think he's starting shortstop. Could he be a utility player, perhaps? I don't think he'll be starting at shortstop. I don't. I think Lombard is the starting shortstop next year, and they will make a long-term commitment to somebody at third base.
Loogie, one more question. Mm-hmm. How old is Volpe, and how many years is he in the league?
Oh, man, he's been in the league, 4 years? And he's got to be right around, 24, 26, something like that?
Yeah, 25.
He'll be 26 next year.
In the league.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of young, and it's not.
No, he is kind of young. Okay, let me. The flip side, Jason Dominguez is 23 years old. Have you seen enough to where you think you can write him off as a player, or you still believe in him? He's 2 years younger.
Yes, he can't field. He can't field at all.
Okay,
he can't field.
But you're throwing away a guy who is a higher touted prospect, who is compared to Mike Trout, who's 2 years younger than Anthony Volpe, who's got less time in the big leagues, meaning he hasn't had the opportunities that Anthony Volpe has been given to. And you would write off Dominguez, but you would not write off Volpe.
I'd rather, because Volpe is a horrible, I mean, Dominguez is a horrible fielder, everybody knows it.
I don't think Anthony Volpe is a great fielder. I don't know where you're getting off saying he's a great fielder. Again, I'm watching the games day in and day out. Let's just watch the, sometimes stats tell the story, sometimes they don't. You kind of sound like Aaron Boone there, Mario. But you do echo a lot of the analytics when it comes to evaluating a player like Volpe. I don't think he's any good. I don't think he's part of the long-term plans. I don't think he should be part of the short-term plans. He does have his defenders. Mario's not the only one. We've heard from a few throughout the summer months here. But if the Yankees could make, I think at this stage, if they could make a major upgrade and Volpe would not be part of their plans, I think they would go in that direction. The problem with Volpe is there hasn't always been that guy they could go to. And even with Caballero, he's not the type of player that can completely win over the job. He's just not. But if Lombard is the goods, and he should be up here already, but if Lombard is the goods, and he shows you that he is the, and a lot of Volpe too is, and this isn't his fault, same thing with Dominguez, hype. Next Derek Jeter, the next Mike Trout, as far as Dominguez, Jeter being Volpe. And sort of putting that sort of weight of the world on his shoulders when it comes to expectations. But you're also talking about one home run and 152 at-bats. 16 RBIs. This is not good production. He's getting on base. I'll give him that. The on-base percentage is good, but the counting stats are not. They're not. And the defense, I don't see it day in and day out. I don't see, doesn't have a good arm. And I don't care that Derek Jeter didn't have a good arm. Again, we're going to bring up Derek Jeter because I've heard that. Well, Derek Jeter didn't have a good arm. Okay, but Derek Jeter is Derek Jeter. Anthony Volpe is far from that. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll continue to take your calls on the Yankees. Coming up in the 2 o'clock hour, we will discuss LeBron James going to the Sixers, the ramifications that have on the Knicks. We will spend a lot, like I said, of the 2 o'clock hour talking basketball, but also continue to take your baseball calls on the trade deadline. Yankees, 888-808-1019. It is Luke in the Late Night, Tommy Lugauer. It is After Hours here on The Fan.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.